Hello, everyone. Let's pray for just a second. Father, thank you for just the opportunity to share with brothers and sisters your word. I pray that you'd add spiritual words to spiritual thoughts, and that truth, Lord, I thank you that truth will do what truth is calculated to do. It'll set us free in some new way. And so we just bless you, God, for our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, I thank you for tuning in. I guess that's the word you use when somebody's watching something over Facebook. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's really significant and something that we deal with in a very practical way every day. So let me start off by saying this. For the believer, the greatest need that we have is intimacy with God. The greatest friend that we have are our weaknesses. Again, the greatest need that we have is intimacy with God, but the greatest friend that we have is weaknesses. You see, we were created in the context of this wholehearted shared love with God. And in that context, we were created to contain His glory and reveal His glory, or to contain His presence, His image, and to reveal His likeness. And that whole relationship, again, flowed out of that whole destiny to in containing and revealing His likeness, containing His presence, revealing His likeness. That whole thing is worked out in that wholehearted shared love, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and which is a response to His love that what it says in 1 John that we love because He first loved us. That's not just a New Testament word for people who've been affected by the fall. That was the way it was always meant to be. That in response to being nourished by the wholehearted love of God, we love Him back wholeheartedly. And so intimacy is what at the core of what we were created to experience and enjoy. But our calling, even our identity flows out of the fact that we've created to contain Him. We were created to reveal Him. And therefore, the Lord created us weak. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying that God created us sinful. I'm saying that God created us dependent. It says that we were created out of dust, that God breathed into us, and we became a living soul. And so what you have is deity plus dust. Now, dust is the most common thing in the world. And I love when 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, for we have this treasure, and the treasure in that context is the glory of God in the person of Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And an earthen vessel is just a clay pot. And a clay pot is just wet dust that's been put together and made to stay together, to hold together. And a clay pot is very fragile. It can crack really easily. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God, not of ourselves. Now, that's not just a word about fallen people, you know, that our dustness. We were created out of dust. God created us to be utterly dependent on Him, to find our identity, to find our worth, to find our value, to know our calling, our destiny and assignment, which is to contain His presence and in that containing His presence to experience that wholehearted love relationship. But in containing His presence, we're called to reveal His likeness. That's what we're called to do. That's who we are. That's what our identity is. And, but therefore we were created to utterly depend on Him. We weren't created to try to imitate God's presence or imitate God's likeness. We're actually created to reveal His likeness. We were created to participate in His presence, in His glory that lives in us. And then to reveal that, to release that, to unveil His likeness, to unveil His glory out of a relationship of faith. The people of God were always created, even Adam and Eve, to live by faith. We were created dependent on Him. We were created to need Him. We were created to depend on Him, to reveal His likeness. It's not something we do for Him. It's something we do by Him. And so we were always created to live from God, not for God. Having said all that, the reason I say that weaknesses are our friends is because weakness, man's dustness from the beginning, was a reminder to him He was very frail, easily cracked, apart from God. And he only was functional and worked the way he was supposed to as he lived in utter dependence on God. And the fact that he was weak, made out of dust, it was a reminder to him that drove him to the place of intimacy and the place of from which the relationship would grow, and the relationship out of that place of now dependency, we would reveal his life and reveal his likeness. So weaknesses remind us that we're dependent. Dependent causes us to stay intimate. And that intimacy results in a life of dependency that reveals his likeness step by step. We were created weak at the fall because we were made out of dust. And so it's not that weakness was the result of the fall. We were already weak. We were created to be dependent on God. The result of the fall was emptiness. The life of God was withdrawn. And therefore, this whole vast expression of weakness says we were created weak, but the result of the fall and no longer having the life of God to depend on, the life of God to the dependence to flow out of intimacy with him, we have this myriad of weaknesses, sinful weaknesses that come forth. Now, for us as Christians, the emptiness has been solved. We no longer empty. Jesus Christ actually lives inside of us. It says in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in you, or Christ in us, is our hope of glory. That hope, or that ability, that or that reality that we contain, and we can now reveal his likeness by living in an utterly dependent life on him, a life of faith, that's been restored to us who are in Christ. And because the law of sin still lives in our members, the capacity for vast expressions of weaknesses are there. But this is how God does. The way the Lord turns the activity of the enemy, the desire of the enemy, the schemes and plans of the enemy, God uses that. God uses those weaknesses in our life to remind us that we're utterly dependent on him. And it drives us to intimacy, so that from that place of intimate fellowship, we can there go forth revealing his likeness. We can come out, we can walk in the reality of our intimacy with him. And you can't get more intimate than Christ living in you, you being in Christ, that union. But we cultivate that intimacy, and cultivating that intimacy, we live a life of faith, and therefore expressing his likeness or revealing his glory, living from him instead of living by him, for him. So for the Christian, intimacy is our greatest need, because the relationship, Christianity's relationship, it's not something you memorize. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. And so intimacy is our need, our greatest need. But being dependent, being weak, weaknesses remind us of our dependency, are our greatest friends, because they remind us that we have to depend on him for everything, step by step. And therefore we cultivate intimacy from which we can walk out a life of faith. Therefore, having said that, again, my life verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 says, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Therefore, as a believer, anything in your life, any situation or circumstance that you might be going through that cultivates intimacy, that any situation you're going through that exposes weaknesses in your life is your opportunity. Don't waste that gift. I'm not saying that what the enemy does that might expose weaknesses is God didn't do that, or but the Lord doesn't waste it, is what I'm saying. Don't waste the opportunity to seek him. Don't waste the opportunity to cultivate intimacy. Don't waste those opportunities that are given to you when you're made to feel very weak, because that weakness is the weaknesses it exposes. You might even say sometimes, I didn't even know that about me. I thought I was beyond that. I didn't know this was, I was capable of this. I thought I was more mature than this. Well, what the enemy tries to do, even though he means it for evil, God intends it for good. And he always turns things on the enemy's head. The enemy always swallows himself. He always is consumed by his own plans and schemes. He brings about his own destruction. And so when you go through places, you go through wilderness times, when you go through situations and it exposes weaknesses in you, maybe some that you didn't even know you still had, don't give in to the fear and the anguish or the confusion that the enemy's trying to bring on you. Don't do that. Thank God for it. Thank God that you're not going to waste this opportunity to cultivate more intimacy, because those weaknesses have just reminded you of how dependent and needy you are for God. And so in that place, we press into deeper intimacy, discover more about him. We just, our understanding of who he is and who he is in us is expanded. And the result is that we find ourselves now walking in faith, living in utter and totally step-by-step dependence on his life within. And the result is the redemptive result is we're revealing his glory and his likeness more than ever before. There's a place in Song of Solomon, it's one of my favorites. It's chapter 8, verse 5. It says, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Weaknesses remind us to lean into our beloved. Weaknesses remind us to lean into our beloved. Weaknesses drive us to seek him. And in seeking him, we discover more about who he is and about who he is in us, so that we can now live a life step by step of more dependency, of more faith, thus experiencing his glory and revealing his glory. I love what Colossians 3 says in 3 and 4. For our life, for we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you're revealed with him in glory. We were created to contain and to reveal God's glory. And so when you go through situations that expose your weaknesses, it's a gift. It may come from the enemy, but it's a gift from God if you'll take advantage of it, because it causes you to lean in. And as you lean in, the result is you'll walk out in faith in those wilderness places, experiencing a greater capacity to steward God's grace at a higher level than you ever have before. See, that's what weaknesses does. That's what weaknesses do. They increase our capacity. We don't get more grace. We're full of grace. But weaknesses increase our capacity to steward more of the grace that we have than ever before. And therefore, there's this mighty expansion as a result. Who is this? You become unrecognizable in a good way. See, the enemy may be telling you in the midst of your valley, in your wilderness, your weakness time, that you don't recognize yourself. You thought you were more spiritual than that, all that kind of thing. Don't listen to that nonsense. Don't pay any attention to him. You're in Christ. Instead, allow the weaknesses to cause you to press in, to lean in. And the result will be you will come out of the wilderness unrecognizable, but it won't be because in a bad way. It'll be because, who is this person? I've never known him or her to walk in such courage before, or to walk in such peace before, to be able to deal with life and handle different situations. There's just something different about this person now. There's a Christ-likeness that's coming forth. There was always some Christ-likeness, but this is more. There's more depth to the Christ-likeness than ever before. So I would just say to you that intimacy is your greatest need, and weaknesses are your best friends. And when you see that, and you allow the weakness to create to remind you of your dependence, and you lean in, the result of leaning in is an increased capacity to steward God's grace and a walking out of who you are as a new creation in a bigger way than ever before, revealing and manifesting his likeness and his glory. Okay? Well, have a good rest of the afternoon. I pray that you'll enjoy step by step the wonders of being in Christ, of Christ being in you, and that you'll know the joy of the life and life more abundant that Jesus came to give us, that Jesus came to live out through us. So have a great day. See you one more time tomorrow at noon. Take care.